The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
It's a good Thursday. There's plenty to talk about today. Peter King is going to join us because it's Cardinal Cowboy week. I think it's very fair to say, okay, what do you see out of Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray? Not this season, but they've both been here together, joined at the hip, 20 games now. And so what is he seeing? And, take what you saw out of the Jets last week. Also want to talk to Peter about the landscape of the NFL. We had Tuesday night football with Tennessee and Buffalo. And can the NFL be a 7-night-a-week deal? I'm sure they could be. I guess I'm just one of those that says, player safety, how do you juggle schedules, and is the anticipation of Tuesday and Wednesday to get you to a game on Thursday, and then Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday, it's just everything turns loose, and then Monday, I think the schedule is just fine the way it is. I don't think 7 days a week. To me, 7 days a week, I would not be in favor of that. And again, I'm always on the player's side of things on this. I don't think that having a player 1 week, you're going to play on a Tuesday, and then you're going to have a bye, and then you'll play on a Sunday, and then you'll play on a Thursday, and then you play on a Monday. I'm pretty certain what it would look like most weeks. It would be a healthy diet of Steelers, Raiders, Cowboys, wherever Tom Brady is next year, Tampa Bay. If Drew Brees isn't back, maybe not New Orleans. All we'd see is like these Russell Wilson, it's fine, and some Kyler Murray, I'm sure, but we'd see big markets, we'd see LA. We would not get a heavy dose of Arizona because Arizona is not, it's not the biggest media market. It's important. They're all important. But, you know, I just feel like how much is too much. I want to talk to Peter about that too. Tonight, we are going to have dueling debates. So Goody is going to be with us. And also, I want to talk to Bill about Monday Night Football. Bill Goody, chief film critic for Gannett, doing a lot on the political front, AZ Central. That will be coming up at 10:50. That's right. One channel tonight, one network is going to have Trump, and the other network is going to have Biden because they couldn't get together to be together after what happened last time. So I don't know, because pretty clearly what's going to happen is one network is going to put out some numbers. And whoever's numbers are lower, the other side's going to say, well, those numbers aren't true. So it's a shit show. There's no other way to put it. It just is. And when it comes to the lead up to the election, it's just every day, it's just something that we've just never seen before. All right. Opening comments brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union. When I talk about Desert Financial Credit Union, I mean, for me, I go in there and take care of business. I also go in there and take care of personal. People at Desert Financial Credit Union, I was just there on Tuesday. Tuesday, yeah. Stopped in, took care of some business. Very nice, very friendly, very professional. Sir, do you need anything else, sir? Would you like a bottle of water on the way out, sir? Yes, that's at Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their support. Here now is Eric Sorensen, Senior Executive Vice President of Everything at Sports 360. What is on your mind today? What is top of mind to you when it comes to sports or whatever?
Okay, well, whatever. You're holding a Desert Financial pen because I have one in a different color that looks exactly like that.
Oh, wow.
They're great pens.
My gosh.
They're great pens, by the way.
They sent me a whole like thing of pens. Oh, that's good. Really nice.
They're high quality pens. What would you think about like if the NFL just got rid of the Thursday night game and just played a game on Tuesday? Would that be any better? Would the product be any better on a Tuesday than a Thursday?
You're still messing with clocks. Like, that's my thing, is the players, we're already asking players to do more. And I understand that owners own, players play. They're the workforce. So they can do whatever they tell them to do. Doesn't mean they need to be put in harm's way. Like, when people complain of, well, these players, they get flown around in private jets. Yeah, they should. Okay? Big men being crammed into airplanes and to go out and play a sport as savage and brutal as that, they should stay in the nicest hotels. They shouldn't stay in a place with a bad mattress. They shouldn't stay in a place that has mattresses built for people 5'11", 150 pounds, rather than 6'7", 300 pounds. They should be allowed to eat a lot and eat well and have private chefs and have all those things, because your entertainment dollar is all about the players. It is not about the owner. And so whenever I get on my soapbox here about how worthless and ridiculous preseason football is, it's 100% about player safety and keeping your most valued commodities, which are players, in great shape, so that when they do go through a season as hard as this, like, we're not even to the halfway point of the season and the Cardinals have already lost Chandler Jones and Buda Baker had surgery, right?
Right.
Am I forgetting somebody else?
No, but it, but
along the way.
But it's, you know, the injuries are going to happen.
Yes.
Unfortunately, we've seen it all over football. I mean, right, more so this year than ever. And, you know, you can debate if that's because there were no preseason games, or you can debate the other side. But I'm just of the mindset that, and getting back to when the games are played.
Yeah.
Don't you find it interesting, Brad, that like Sunday night football is a home run every single week? Very rarely Sunday night football provides a dud. Monday night football is about 75% good games. Thursday night football is about 30% good games. Now, I know like the schedules have a lot to do with that, but it has to do a lot too with the quality of play. Because like you said, body clocks, Thursday. I know you hate that word, body clocks, but you are messing with routines. And pro athletes are the most routine people you will find. So,
well, but look at the Cardinals, okay? So the Cardinals have a huge game in Dallas on Monday night. They start a stretch that is very big. They're coming off of playing on the road. This will be their fourth game in a row?
Third game in a row,
okay, where they've had to go to Carolina, come home, to New York, come home, to Dallas, come home.
Yep.
Then they play, after Dallas, they play Seattle 6 days later in a monumental game within the division.
Sure.
They have Miami, then they have Buffalo. Buffalo's really good this year. They didn't look good on a Tuesday night. I don't know if it's because of Tuesday night. And then they play Seattle again. So I look at it and say, well, okay, you're going to play, let's just use this as argument. You're going to play at New York on a Tuesday, and then the following Thursday, you know, 12 days later or 9 days later, we'll put you on Thursday Night Football against the Cowboys, because that's pretty attractive. Then the following Sunday, you get some extra rest. Then you can play Seattle. But wait, we're going to have a Tuesday game against Seattle in 2 weeks. So routines for players are important. And I think the Thursday night deal, I'm happy they're playing Monday Night Football. I'd much rather see a team play Monday night than Thursday night.
For sure.
Thursday night is viewed as one of the most important nights of the week in television. Research shows there's just people that are there. Sunday nights, people are at home. It's the reason why 60 Minutes does so well. But and the numbers, people try to parse them. Like the side on Trump here, yeah, I'm going to be political on this when they say, well, the ratings are down and 24.5 million people watched a game on three different networks, and you're not even taking into account the streaming numbers. The streaming numbers. You're not even taking that into account. So you don't know what you don't know.
Or the people that are still going to sports bars and watching games. I mean, the sports bars probably only get credit for
one person.
One person, right? So
all those TVs, one person.
Correct.
It's a joke. And there's all sorts of different algorithms and different ways where they say they can measure, but it's all ridiculous. People can find ways, like the streaming thing, and I'm going to talk to Peter about that here in a minute. We'll step aside, Peter King. Football Morning in America's Peter King on Cardinal Cowboy Week. He joins us every Thursday. We're back next. As promised, all things around the National Football League. Football Morning in America's Peter King, nice enough to join us via Zoom. Tuesday night football, okay? We're going to have Wednesday night football. We're going to have Friday night football. Peter, I know you could put the NFL on any day of the week, but I'm curious from your point of view, how much is too much during the week in taking away? And it was a great game last night, no question. But do you think we may see some of this in the future?
Man, I guess I would look at it, Brad, and basically say that it's borderline impossible to predict in this way. I was told over the weekend when I was asking about the impact of all these moving games, and for instance, Fox losing a terrific Thursday night game in Kansas City at Buffalo, mm-hmm. which would have been tomorrow night. And in losing that game, they basically got the game moved to 5 p.m. Monday Eastern time. And obviously they're not going to get nearly the number as they would have had they played it in prime time on Thursday. But as somebody from the television business told me, wait a second, you know, when that game was scheduled 2 or 3 weeks ago before all this happened, that game was going up against the second Trump-Biden debate.
That's true.
And so it would have had a lousy number anyway, right, relatively speaking. So if you consider those two things, then maybe the number on Monday will be just about what they would have gotten anyway. And I don't know that, but that's, and the one other thing about the NFL right now, Brad, that I think is really interesting. I believe that the next television contract, I believe we're going to stop calling them network TV deals, because I think the next television contract is going to have a significant streaming element. And so you can sit home and, you know, look, the way I consume football on Sundays now when I do my job, because right now I'm not going to any games, the way I do my job now is I put NFL Sunday Ticket right on my laptop, which I'm doing this on right now. And I put Sunday Ticket on my laptop and I just start watching the games and going from one game to another. And in one third of the screen, I have my Monday column is up. So as I see things that I want to comment on, I write them just as I'm watching. And then on a bigger screen, I have a Sunday Ticket on. So what's happening right now is that, and look, I know that normally, if I wasn't that way, I'd just be watching a game on TV or I'd be watching Sunday Ticket. I would not have a second screen on. But mm-hmm. a lot of people are second screeners. And right now, I can tell you this. The NFL has noticed that Amazon just last year now made a deal with the English Premier League to do, in essence, what is what NFL Sunday Ticket is. Mm-hmm. In other words, they have a deal where all day you've got a Scott Hansen or, you know, an Andrew Siciliano giving you the constant updates, and you'll see a goal from Manchester United, and then you'll see a goal or a great save from Liverpool. And they have all the games. It's exactly like that. So the NFL has noticed that, and they said, you know, and they're thinking, one of the thoughts that they have right now is, why can't we, for instance, why can't we have NFL Sunday Ticket streamed instead of putting it on, you know, instead of putting it on basically a television, right. You know, if it can be streamed and you charge people for that, I think it'd be really, really eye-opening to people, even the people who now get NFL Sunday Ticket. It'll be eye-opening to them that really with the quality on a MacBook Pro or whatever you have, it's not any different. It's just a little bit smaller. That's all it is, than on your gigantic screen. And if you want to, you can hook it up to be on your gigantic screen. I don't mean to hijack this and take it somewhere else.
No.
But that to me is one of the interesting things about this week.
Well, and I'll just weigh in on a personal level. I bought Disney stock, more of it this week when they announced they're doubling down on streaming. And you see where the new TV deal is coming out. You see where some NFL is showing up over on big ABC. And you just know where it's going. And having four kids under the age of 30, they all walk around with this. They don't sit and watch that. That's yeah. how it is. Yeah. There's no other way to put it. So,
which is fine. Honestly, yeah. You know, like when I talk to journalism schools and journalism students, I said, don't fight what is happening. You know, if newspapers are dying, if print is dying, then figure out a way that you can tell a story that we still need to tell stories.
Yes, yes.
You know, we still need to tell stories. And look, my column, quite honestly, Brad, is a dinosaur. And I understand that. And I'm 63 years old. And I know there are certain there are people of a certain age who love my column and who love to sit down there and maybe read it in two or three sittings during the week or whatever, because it's 10,000 words long. Right. And so, but I do understand that most people are not consuming media and not, they don't consume media by reading a lot. Mm-hmm. They consume media by watching a lot. And so that's why I always tell kids in school, I said, you know, don't think you're going to go to school and be the next great American novelist or writer or whatever. You might be, but you need a side gig too.
Yeah, that's well put. Peter King is with us. Football Morning in America, the Peter King podcast this week, Ed Werder and Dan Orlovsky. That is on iTunes and all sorts of different platforms with Peter. I want to turn the attention to Cliff Kingsbury. The average lifespan of an Arizona Cardinal coach without the last name of Wisenhunt or Arians is about 3 years. I'm not sitting here today going down the path of it's time to get after Cliff Kingsbury. I'm merely bringing up that the next 4 weeks at Dallas, Seattle, Miami, Buffalo, Seattle. So the road gets very difficult. He is 7-12-1. He's about year and a half into his deal, about the average. And I think it's time now to say, okay, what exactly is Cliff Kingsbury all about out here? Because I see Matt Rhule in Carolina, how he went from college to pro, and he's been terrific. Pete Carroll, of course, is the one that everybody points to on the college to pro guy. Peter, I don't know if you can make an evaluation of Cliff, but I think on a national stage this Monday night for him and then Seattle 6 days later is really a measuring stick and a coming out for what is this guy exactly all about?
You know, I'm gonna answer that in two ways. The first of which is a bit of a cop out. Okay, like my feeling about judging coaches is the same way. Look, the early returns on Matt Rhule are fantastic. You know, he loses his best player, and he enters this year without a couple of franchise players in Luke Kuechly and Cam Newton, having to rebuild all over his roster. And, you know, what has he done without Christian McCaffrey? He's won three in a row. It's yep. How does that happen? I don't know. But at the same time, you know, I don't know how he's going to stand the test of time. And I don't know if the Carolina Panthers are just a pleasant surprise or a very good team. It's just too early to know that. It's a little bit the same with Kingsbury, because I think last year when you exited the season in 2019 and you saw what you saw with the Arizona Cardinals and you saw this sort of long losing streak, mostly I would say because the defense, you know, basically was letting down the offense. They're, you know, giving up 30 or 34 almost every week, you know. Yep. And then at the end, you saw signs of kind of significant hope. When you beat Seattle by two touchdowns in Seattle, regardless of what Seattle has or doesn't have on the line, and then you play a team that you think right then is kind of a mirror image of you to end the season, the Rams, and you play pretty well. You lose, but what I remember about the end of last season is that the arrow was definitely pointing up for the Cardinals.
That's fair.
And as I go into this year, and now as we've gone 5 weeks into this season, and it's unfair because you even if you beat the Jets by 50, it really doesn't mean anything.
Right.
The Jets are so lousy. So I don't really – I'm not positive what I think of this team yet. And I think the one disappointing thing was – in this season is not losing at Carolina. It's losing to Detroit at home. You know, that to me was a head scratching loss. The other thing that to me has been a head scratcher is I don't quite understand, you know, this is last year, I remember before the year going to training camp of Cardinals. It was later. It was one of my last trips. And I remember sitting on the back of a golf cart with Cliff Kingsbury and talking about the kind of team he was going to be. And he just made an offhand comment like, you know, we are going to be able to run the ball and run it well. And that probably was one of the biggest surprises of the season last year. Mm-hmm. When you see how incredibly dominant they were running the ball. You know, I forget whatever it was, 4.8 or yards a carry. I mean, it was huge. And I remember thinking, man, Kenyon Drake, 5.2 yards a carry. And I remember thinking to myself, what did the Dolphins miss about him and all that? But anyway, that was a great get for them. And now he's running a little bit with cement shoes this year.
Yep.
And so you could either think that, okay, teams have really gone to school on Cliff Kingsbury now. You know, now it's time for Cliff Kingsbury, especially coming up against the schedule that he's coming up with. Now you have to see, okay, what are you going to do when people have a good read on you? How are you going to play? What are you going to figure out? Same thing with Kyler Murray. How are you going to play when people have sort of figured out who you are and there's absolutely no way, I mean, it happens, but they're going to do everything in their power to not let him get beyond the line of scrimmage and have a little bit of an open patch of ground in front of them. So I don't know. Those are things I'm thinking about, but I'm mostly very bullish and encouraged by what I've seen in the Cardinals under Kingsbury. And I think it was, I don't want to say an inspired hire. It was a different hire,
yep.
But I think it's a very good hire and they're going to get better.
Before I get you out of here, and I appreciate your time as always, Peter King with us, Football Morning in America. Make sure you check out his column and, of course, the Peter King podcast. Andy Dalton, you know, a couple of weeks ago you brought up Josh Rosen, completely different story. And then we saw Alex Smith on Sunday, and it was terrific and heartwarming and everything that we love about sports. Andy Dalton was a guy that was beat up on the scrap heap in Cincinnati, goes to Dallas, the awful injury to Dak. I'm just curious your view of Andy Dalton coming into this Monday night game where he's going to be the guy for Mike McCarthy.
I think Andy Dalton will play fine. You know, he has always been an efficient player. Toward the end in Cincinnati, he did not play well. And I would say the biggest reason it wasn't Andy Dalton as much as it was a terminally ineffective and leaky offensive line. And now he goes to Dallas, which also has a leaky offensive line because of all the injuries. But on the other hand, you've also got Amari Cooper, C.D. Lamb, and Michael Gallup. Is there a better 1-2-3 combination right now at receiver in the NFL? I doubt it. I mean, the Cardinals could argue, but their 2 and 3 are not better than the Cowboys' 2 and 3. So, you know, I look at this and say, they're going to be fine on offense. Their problem right now is the defense.
Awful.
Giving up 36 points a game. Andy Dalton is not going to have an issue, I don't think, with keeping them competitive offensively. But just like Dak Prescott found, the most amazing thing to me about the Cowboys is they've won 2 games. In those 2 games, they scored 40 and 37 points. They won those games by 1 and 3 points, respectively. And so that is a recipe for failure. And, you know, somebody asked me in the league this week on Monday about the NFC East and how bad it was. And I said, I honestly think that a 6-10 team could win that division. And I mean, that sounds incredible.
Yeah.
I will not be surprised. I'll be surprised, I guess, a little bit if a 6-10 team wins it. I will definitely not be surprised if a 7-9 team wins it, because there are fatal flaws on every one of those 4 teams.
Really interesting stuff. As always, appreciate your time. Stay safe. Thanks, Peter.
All the best, Brad. Take care.
There's Peter King with us. Always good to catch up with Peter King. Football Morning in America, the Peter King podcast. Make sure that you check it out on all platforms. And we're back with more after this timeout. So Nick Saban tests positive for COVID, Eric, as did Greg Byrne. And you have Alabama against Georgia, 2-3 on Saturday. So the big question is Nick Saban going to sit at his house, or is the Pope Mobile going to show up and they're going to put him in a bubble and they're going to evacuate the elevator and they're going to raise him up to the heavens and he's going to sit up top and kind of tilted forward. And it's like Booger McFarland last year and his little thing that he went along the sidelines. Are we going to have the presence of Nick on Saturday?
I'm not sure, but I guess yesterday Saban was like on a call with one of the managers throughout the entire practice. And basically if like one of the if they didn't do a rep right or if there was a player out of place, Saban basically told the manager to rerun the drill. And he was at home in his office.
Of course he was.
But I mean, the thing is, Brad, I mean, if you're in quarantine, you're in quarantine. Like, right. I don't care if you're Nick Saban, Brad Sesmat, Jordan Hamm. Like, you need to be in quarantine. I know it's a big game. I know your defense got shredded.
No
last
Pope
week
in the bubble. No Pope Mobile taking Nick Saban to the game because it's Georgia. It's SEC football, too.
That's it. No, it's it. That's
like
it.
It's like Rich Rod said to us earlier this week. I don't know if you heard the line. He's like, yeah, they can go put water polo in place and football, just run that stuff over in the SEC because
sure.
We don't care. All yeah. We care about is football.
Well, that's it. It always has been that way, too. So I don't know. I mean, I hope that Coach Saban is doing okay. I really hope that our guy Greg Byrne is doing okay. He also tested positive, which is kind of crazy to think because we had Greg on at the very beginning of all this back in March. So we'll see. I mean, it's Thursday. I'm sure Alabama is trying to figure out something. I guarantee you that.
Well, and the game's on CBS. It's a national game. And somehow, some way, I'm just in that mind of they're going to play the game no matter how many people are positive. They're just going to find a way. They just will. Do you see a story yesterday about all winter athletes get an extra year of eligibility in college sports?
I did. Like, I did see that.
I don't know who's going to pay for that. One, is it boosters? Is there a slush fund with each one of these programs? Like, could we see Remy Martin for another year? I wouldn't think so. Would it be to his benefit to play another year at Arizona State University? I don't know. I don't think he's going to grow anymore. I mean, his hair may get bigger and all that. But I looked at that story. And in January, they're going to decide on name and likeness, NLI. NLI is a term now that's out there. Name and likeness for these players to get paid, that's a big deal. Now you have this extra year of winter eligibility. You know, college basketball, while I'm excited about Arizona State, I'd like to see what Bryce Drew's all about over GCU. And is Sean going to hang in there with another team that just kind of has a bunch of one-and-done guys? And because we didn't have March Madness last year, just feels like college hoops is pushed off to the side. But this story of extra year of winter eligibility, I was talking to somebody today, and they said this really is about women's basketball, wrestling, a lot of other sports that are those sports on the chopping block. Because you got to be able to fund those people, those players, those student athletes somehow.
And I guess maybe they do have it figured out, because I believe last spring – college baseball players who were seniors were granted another year of eligibility yes. for this year.
Yes.
So maybe they have found some, the NCAA or these institutions have found some formula for how they can give the winter sports another year. And it's probably best that, you know, it's not football, because football takes up a whole bunch of scholarships. Mm-hmm. And when you're talking about basketball and some of the other winter sports, they're a lot smaller in scholarship size. So I don't know. Maybe they'll figure it out.
Well, I think on the football side, I'm still kind of taking a wait and see approach on this front. So if you're an ASU senior this year, could you benefit by having another year of eligibility if you're just simply not big enough, strong enough, fast enough? You haven't worked that hard in the offseason. You've had a bunch of guys in front of you. I mean, would you take advantage of that for another year, or is Arizona State, the rest of college football, going to say, out the door? We played football last year through COVID. We're playing football this year through COVID. We didn't make it through basketball last year with COVID. We didn't make it through baseball. Apples and oranges have to go a different direction.
Depends on the player. I'm sure ASU would be more than happy to bring back a productive experience, good leader, good student, good player back into the fold. If you're someone that's been an underachiever who has been on scholarship, my guess is they will probably show you the door to the left. Thanks for everything.
Yeah.
Enjoy the free ASU gear and be on your way.
Yeah.
But that's that, you know, like it's, we all know, Brad, college football is so cutthroat, and they only have so many scholarships. So they have to be pretty prudent about how and where they use them.
All right, Goody at the Movies and Goody on Politics and Goody on Monday Night Football from the Arizona Republic. Bill Goody-Kuntz is next. As promised, Goody at the Movies, Goody at Politics, Goody at Monday Night Football, Goody at everything. All things Bill Goody-Kuntz, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central. Tonight, we have a presidential debate. What is the way that the Commission of Presidential Debates, what is your view of them, given that tonight now we have one on one network, one on the other?
Well, that's the problem. We don't have a debate. The commission canceled the debate because after Trump tested positive, they wanted to do a virtual debate, which, you know, seems reasonable. And they Trump wouldn't agree to it. He said he would only do it if they did it in person. So they canceled it. So ABC last week set up a town hall with Joe Biden. The debate was supposed to be a town hall format anyway, but obviously with both guys there. So yesterday, NBC agreed to have a town hall with Trump that airs at the exact same time, just on a different network. And I'm certainly not alone in this. I thought it was a horrible idea. I thought it was bad TV and worse journalism. And you know something about both of those things. From a TV standpoint, I understand Trump is good for ratings. I mean, there's no denying that. But your ratings aren't going to be as good as if he had the lane to himself, even if it's Trump. I mean, some people are going to watch Biden, you know, and I'm baffled. And they're NBC, at first, nobody would talk on the record. They would, you know, maybe go on background and stuff, but they wouldn't say why they did it. There's some I don't know if it's speculation, but the idea is that Trump really wanted this because what he wants is he wants to win the ratings battle.
Yeah.
And then he can use that against Biden. And I assume he will win the ratings battle because if nothing else, he knows TV. And I suspect that he will perform, and perform is the word I think I want to use. He'll perform in such a way that people will watch, I think. But it defeats the, this isn't, and I've had round and around, you can imagine what my email and my Twitter mentions but this isn't a reality show.
I mean, we've
discussed this before. It's become one. The highest office in the land. The thing that the aspirational goal of every kid in civics class, you know, is now to go on TV and call people stupid nicknames Trump, he won. He can act how he wants. I mean, that's his thing. But I don't think NBC has to be complicit in it. They don't have to help him.
But, you know, the thing that I've heard on this, or I've read, I should say, on this, is that Trump's people believe that Biden will just use notes and cheat. So, which to me is just, it's hey, when he asks you about this, push this button and it'll pop up on the prompter what your answer will be. But that is actually out there this morning today, that is why tonight they have to be on two separate networks, because Trump thinks that Biden will cheat. And I you're right about the number. The number is going to be Trump 5-1, probably. I think the older base, people sit around and watch TV. The numbers for Fox News supposedly indicate what our country believes, and I don't believe that that's true at all. But the numbers are huge.
Well, and the first debate, even though it was a nightmare, you know, it got great numbers. It sure. did not do as well as the first Trump-Hillary debate, but that's the only debate it didn't do better than. And, you know, that these theories, this craziness, it's like I despair sometimes. I don't know what to.
How are you going to cover it tonight? How are you going to cover it? Do you have two TVs in front of you?
Yeah, I mean, I've got two or three. I've got the computers and TVs and stuff set up. I think Trump is only an hour. Biden's an hour and a half. I suspect what I'll do is I'll watch one. I'll DVR both of them. I'll go back and watch another, and I'll somehow try to round up what some of the pundits are saying. It's going to be a pretty busy night.
Yeah, that's right. But we've never been in this space before to have something this major that you have to write about, and they're going to both be on at the same time on two separate channels. It makes zero sense.
I've had a little bit of practice with that, but it's been a while. Well, actually, I did something like that. I can't remember, not long ago, about a month or two ago. But the toughest one of those I ever did was in 2001, when after 9/11, the Emmy Awards kept getting pushed back, and they finally said, we're going to make them either it was November 1st or November 2nd. I can't remember. This is going to be ironclad no matter what else happens. This is when we're going to hold them. And it just so happened that ended up being game 7 of the Diamondbacks and Yankees.
Oh, yeah.
and I was writing about both, and I was like, just go ahead, these two TVs, and I was just going back. But the thing about it, but at least they were both kind of exciting, you know? I mean, the Diamondbacks are really exciting. And the Emmy Awards are kind of cool too, but you know that you could bounce back and forth, and you're bound to hit something good, you know.
Bill Goodykoontz with us, AZ Central. Make sure you check out all of his content and Gannett. All right, Monday Night Football. The Cardinals play on Monday night. They've not played on Monday night much. They've gotten the Thursday night games because each team gets a game. They haven't been good since 2015. Being put in prime time Monday Night Football, the last few years Monday Night Football has felt like a dud. As you look at the Monday Night Football broadcast crew this year, Levy, Greasy, Riddick, do you like it? What are you expecting Monday night to sound and look like?
I think it's a step up. I mean, it's starting again to, and who knows? Things are so weird now, you don't know what plays into, you know, how you're feeling about things. But maybe I'm just desperate for something to do. But but I feel like it's starting to feel a little bit more like an extension of the weekend, like it used to. Instead of, I just felt like the last couple of years with that broadcast crew, and that, you know, they were certainly competent, but they were just bland, and it felt like one of those early morning Saturday college games. No matter what the matchup was, and you know, but they, I feel like now it's become it's sort of sneaking back into becoming a bigger deal. They've had some better games, which always helps.
Right.
They had they had real dogs for a couple of seasons there. That it was weird that the Monday Night Football became kind of the dumping ground for the bad games. And Thursday Night Football, when Fox started picking it up and NBC, then they started getting the good games. Yeah, you get what you pay for. But they, I feel like this will give Monday Night Football and sort of a national audience to talk about Kyler Murray. Which was every time a new broadcast crew covered the Cardinals last year, that was their thing. And with good reason. I mean, he is the most exciting player on the team. You know, one of the most exciting players in the league. This will give them a chance to do it, to talk about him on a national stage. He's been a little inconsistent the last couple of weeks, but he's really good. DeAndre Hopkins, they can get, I mean, think about it. If you, from a broadcaster standpoint, you can get 1,000 miles out of this thing. I mean, you can talk about him coming here. The problem with the Cardinals is, and this is why they're only on national TV once a year, it only plays once. You know, because Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins can only be new to your audience once. You know, the next week something interesting has to happen.
Well, and I was talking with Peter King about this in the last segment, and that is, you know, this is about a year and a half for Cliff. And the average lifespan of a Cardinal head coach by not the last name of Arians or Wisenhunt is about 3 years. And Cliff is sitting here now 7-12-1. All right. You have the Cowboys on Monday Night Football for the nation to see. You play Seattle 6 days later. In fact, you play Seattle 2 weeks after that, and you have Buffalo, and there was pretty good too. So I think that the angle of Cliff Kingsbury is supposed to be this offensive wizard, wide open and all that, and he's 7-12-1. So what exactly is this guy all about? It's easy to fall into Kyler Murray and DeAndre and look at Fitz in his 17th year and all that. But I think there should be something about Kingsbury on Monday night.
And I think there will be, because I think you're right. And I hope that he needs to be held under scrutiny. I mean, he's this offensive genius kind of thing. I mean, what that's basically meant so far, and I'm paraphrasing and you know far more about it than I do, but it seems to me that it's played out mostly like every now and then they'll run a play that looks like something you drew up in your backyard, you know, playing touch football. Right. And sometimes they're successful. Sometimes they're not. They're interesting. It's kind of fun, but that stuff's a lot more fun when it works. it's like anything else. When you're winning, you're a genius. That stuff is great. When you know you're a mad scientist and everything's fine. When you're losing, you're just kind of an eccentric guy who had some bad ideas. You know, it's not neither thing is true, but that's just sort of the reality of how it plays out.
Or forget you out of here. Any movies you've seen lately? Screen anything good?
I'm trying to think. I've been doing some more TV.
I did Time. Did you do Time, the documentary?
I did not, but the person who did it for us really liked it.
Yeah, we struggled towards the end. It was well done. It was well received at Sundance. We saw the Bill Murray chick flick.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Why am I blanking on the name of it?
I am too.
On the Rocks. Yeah. On the Rocks. Yeah, no, I thought I, because people, like, I finally made it through Cobra Kai. I had you on a few weeks ago and I said, hey, Netflix, if you're into Karate Kid, I wasn't really that into it, but every little nod, it's written by Will Smith and the writing, Bill, they've got me on the cliff now. I just finished the second season. We don't get back to it until January and I can't wait. It's so corny and hokey though. Like, if you
Everybody
make
loves
it through.
It.
Yeah, it's Everybody crazy. Yeah.
And for the same reasons you're saying, there's just, and again, I don't mean to bring everything back to what's going on right now and that sort of thing. But I think that it really strikes people right now as kind of, oh man, that was a time, you know?
No, it's an hour and a half of, I binge watch three in a row and I just turn it off, just click. Just like this, you know, because what else are you going to do?
You can watch some sports, you know, and that now that the NBA is over, things are sort of, at least there's, except for golf, they're kind of back in their time slots, you know. I guess that feels a little more normal. I mean, the baseball's been interesting. It still feels a little bit, and we've talked about this before about what they do with the virtual crowds and stuff. Still feels a little bit weird, but you know,
we'll get through it. We'll get
through
it.
They're out there. They're playing. We're watching.
Yeah. Have fun tonight. It sounds like you're going to have an eventful evening. I will let you go off that. See you later.
Well, thank you. I will try.
There you go. There's Goody at the movies and Goody at politics and Goody at everything. Speaking of everything, Jared Nielsen, chairman of the board, taking care of business. The Iron Man. Iron Man was playing hurt a little bit earlier this week and fought through it. Good stuff there. And, of course, thanks to Eric Sorensen and Peter King. This show repeats hour after hour after hour. The spots that you see in here, the commercials you see in here, these are partners. These are people that believe in the content that we do, not just here, but also on our website, sports360az.com. If you just found us, click over there, sports360az.com. We're Arizona-centric, stuff that's just different and random that I see in sports over the last 9 years. All right, we're done for today. Have yourself a great day. Be safe.